Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, the beauty of baseball is you can sit next to your neighbor and have a conversation, or you can just completely ignore them.
Baseball spoken here. It's time for the second game of our radio doubleheader.
That is a reviewable play, but the Yankees choose not to review it.
A swing and a drive to deep right. Away back. Off the pole, Francisco Lindor.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch. A deep dive on baseball and the hottest topics in sports.
It's 2-2 in the bottom of the sixth, and I just can't get my eyes off that man with the tall head.
It's quite a game, but man, that guy is ugly. You know that guy hasn't blinked this entire game? Just a dead-eyed idiot out on a Thursday afternoon.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
We're going to be awesome for you right now.
On 1080.
Hey, one for one. That's batting 1,000, dude.
That's baseball, baby.
Help us, please. Somebody help us.
The Fan.
Yeah. Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crumb.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you missed the first hour, you can catch that on the Les Schwab Tires podcast on 1080 The Fan on Twitter and on the website. Also, we're going to drop an emergency 911 episode of Beers on Us tonight. You can at least get that on the 1080 The Fan website as well. We're still holding out that you should be able to get it on iTunes and Google Play, but we'll see that as well. We spent this whole day talking about some Hall of Fame.
Yes, we've gotten to two of the four who have been inducted.
Two of the four. And as we were saying, as we were lamenting in the first hour at the beginning, that this is such a classy class, for lack of better terms. All four of these dudes are just like, you know what? Like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You might not agreed. You might agree. You might disagree. But I'll tell you what. All four of these dudes, I like that guy.
Absolutely.
And I can hear the argument in all of them. There's no Tim Rock Reigns. There's no Jeff Bagwell on this list. It's like, you know what? I like those guys.
Yeah.
And I say it's fair. It's apropos, as we would on this show. To start the 8 o'clock hour with one, Edgar Martinez, in his 10th year on the ballot, the first most full-time DH ever to be elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Unless you count Harold Baines last year.
No, because old dudes that are friends with him decided to put him in.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, but this is one that voters actually decided to put him. Now, to be fair, the Mariners have been campaigning this pretty hard for the last 3 years, and they got their wish. Edgar's in. Where do we start with this, Mike?
It's about time. That's where I'll start with it.
Oh, I love that. I love that's where your attitude is.
It's a position that has been overlooked for the wrong reasons for far too long.
Mm-hmm.
The DH has been around for a long time now, and just because you only were a designated hitter doesn't mean that you were not a Hall of Fame worthy player. If you're one of the best to ever play your position, whether or not it's in the field or not, you should be a Hall of Famer. I've said this before last year when we were waiting for Edgar to get in. David Ortiz is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
On the Mitchell Report.
If you put David Ortiz in first ballot and you did not allow Edgar Martinez in, then you are a hypocrite and you are a fool. Because David Ortiz, yes, won the World Series. Yes, had the playoff clutch hits. But he was a full-time DH for almost the entirety of his career.
He was almost out of baseball until he took juice and went to Boston.
I'm going to skip over the juice part.
Okay, that's my opinion.
I very, very wildly respect David Ortiz as much as I hated him as a player because he killed us as a Yankee fan, but I respect the hell out of him. Maybe he did steroids, but frankly, maybe everybody did steroids, so I don't know. But you can't put him in, and you know you're going to, and not put Edgar Martinez in. So that was my first thought last year when I was like, come on, He's a Hall of Famer. But then this stack popped across the text line today from one of our P1s. He goes, I'll never have to text this again, but I'll celebrate by doing it one last time. Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, Rogers Hornsby, Stan Musial are the only other guys besides Edgar Martinez with a 300-plus career average, 400-plus on-base percentage, 500-plus slugging percentage, 2,000-plus hits, 300-plus home runs, 500-plus doubles, 1,000-plus walks. How can anyone think he's a borderline Hall of Famer? I don't even have to make my own argument. That makes the argument right there for me. I mean, if that's the class you're in with your stats, you're a Hall of Famer. You are. I think I'm sure some people will argue with our conversation of, oh, well, when you watched him, was he a Hall of Famer? Right? I'm sure some people would say,
yeah,
probably not. I don't say that. I thought Edgar was a Hall of Famer playing. He was an unstoppable force at the plate, which was his job, to be at the plate.
Right.
So it's about damn time.
So pitchers only pitch, correct?
Unless you're in the National League. But yes, correct.
We put them in the Hall of Fame, correct?
Yeah. Mariano Rivera just made a first ballot, and no one has a problem with it except for one guy.
Relievers make the Hall of Fame, correct?
Correct.
And they only do one job, right?
Yep.
But for some reason, we have this problem of guys that only hit can't get in the Hall of Fame. But these guys that only pitch. Pedro Martinez was an Expo for what? Part of his career, but his Hall of Fame career is in Boston, correct?
Yeah, where he did not hit.
Where he did not hit. Okay. Roger Clemens, as we'll get to steroid dudes later, spent 90% of his career in the American League. Did not hit. You want to argue he should be in the Hall of Fame. But we have a problem with these guys that just hit. Because I will tell you this. I watched Edgar Martinez play for most of his career. I tell you, Griffey is the reason I watch baseball. But Griffey's the reason I watch baseball because Griffey slid into home in 95. Who got him to home? And I'm not saying you should get into the Hall of Fame.
Jay Buhner.
I am not saying you should get into that. That is incorrect. I'm not saying you should
Brett Boone.
You should get into the Hall of Fame because of one historical moment.
Ichiro Suzuki.
That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm telling you.
Dustin Ackley.
Is that when I watched Edgar Martinez, when I watched him swing the bat, they used to say this all the time when Edgar was at the plate. If you have a 2-2 count on Edgar, he's on base. Edgar Martinez is the most dangerous 2-2 hitter to ever walk the planet. And in my opinion, I think Edgar Martinez is the greatest doubles hitter of all time. There was no one that was able to place that ball in between outfielders and get to second base. Oh, and guess what? He's not fast.
No.
Like, he's a chugging train around bases. And he's a double machine. So I'm with you. This whole David Ortiz, Big Poppy, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, linked to steroids, DH his entire career. He's a first ballot, and Edgar has to wait till 10 years? This is way different than Tim Rock Raines. This is way different than Raines. This is way different than maybe Larry Walker sneaks in next year in his 10th year.
Yeah.
And Larry Walker, a fantastic hitter. Fantastic hitter. Maybe not as good as Edgar, but a fantastic hitter.
He's getting marred by the Coors Field effect.
Exactly. And Todd Helton, we're seeing that as well.
God. I think both those guys also deserve to be in, by the way.
I agree. I think both of them are phenomenal hitters.
Especially Todd Helton.
But Edgar, in my time of watching baseball, which I would say is 95 till now. I watched baseball before, but I didn't really know what was going on. 95 till now. Edgar Martinez is easily one of the top 10 hitters I've ever seen. If not, maybe touches top five. Maybe, but probably top 10.
That's tough.
I'm talking like pure
hitters. Yeah, I know.
Hitters.
I know. It's tough.
I do have A-Rod on that list. Unfortunately, you sell out.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think that quickly about it, but I'm sure. I don't know if he's top 10 for me, but maybe he is. You know, there's probably a bunch of guys from like 7 to 15 that are all about the same in my mind in terms of how good they were. But no, I mean, you might be right. It might be top 10 in terms of when we watch baseball. I'm the same as you. I started watching baseball in 95.
Yeah.
Same first year for me. And, well, I mean, again, the same. I watched it as a kid, but I was a toddler.
But you don't
I don't
really
know what's
know.
Going on.
Yeah.
I'm just happy he got in for Mariners fans. And I'm very happy that he saw the jump that he did in his votes, because he gained like 40% of votes in 3 years, which is unheard of in the Hall of Fame. He went up like 15 to 18 or 20% every single year out of the last 3 years. So I think that shows kind of what you said in the first segment. That shows a little bit of, we're moving in the right direction where we're not being so stubborn about the position like the DH, mm-hmm. because it's part of the modern game and there are great DHs. And I mean, it's, you got to put those guys in. They deserve it.
I think so. What's the name of the game? To get on base as a hitter?
The name of the game is to score runs.
Yes, but how do you do that? You get on base and you advance other runners.
You touch home plate.
Stop. You get on base and you advance other runners. Yeah. And if you hit a double and you got a young Joey Cora, a young Alex Rodriguez, Griffey on first, and you hit a double, there's a good chance they're going to score.
Yeah, and you got Jay Buhner behind you. He's going to hit a home run.
Or strike out. That's all that matters to me. I think Edgar is one of the smartest dudes I've ever seen play baseball. And I'm proud and I'm happy. And to you Mariner fans out there that may feel, you know, grim these days, Edgar was a cool dude.
I played Major League Baseball with Ken Griffey Jr. on the N64. Mm-hmm. I chose the Mariners because I was a big Ken Griffey fan. I went 162-0.
And John Smith, who batted fourth after Griffey, was probably amazing.
No, it had all the real players in it.
Oh, okay.
And they had these little yellow circles. For anyone who played the game, this will be a super big trip for you to remember this. Trip down memory lane. You have this like reticle on the screen that shows where you move it to hit the ball. And the bigger it was, the better the player. Griffey's was the biggest because he was the title player.
Right.
Edgar's was right behind him. And these guys, like, you could barely flick the joystick up and it would hit any pitch up in the zone. And Edgar was just a monster.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the man was great.
Yep.
If video games say it, it must be true.
I'll also say I did not go 162-0. I reset the game twice when I got walked off on. I would have been 160-2. You know who beat me? Derek Jeter on the home run. And I reset the game.
you got so mad.
I did. I went, nope, I'm going undefeated. 7-year-old Mike's going undefeated. Come on. I did.
Well, it happens.
I also had time to play 162 baseball games, I guess, plus playoffs. I love that game.
That's a great game. All right, when we come back, we'll round out this Hall of Fame class with, I don't know, probably the most controversial, which is funny because I think the dude's a nice guy. And I was a huge fan of him.
He's a nice guy.
I got a great story to tell you about Mike Mussina. And we'll do the Moose next. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
It's 8:19 here. Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris, this is the Hot Corner. We do this bad boy every single Wednesday night. Wrapping up the Hall of Fame class of 2019 is a man that I actually loved growing up. I was a very anti-Yankee kid. And even before that, when he was in Baltimore was pretty good. Fighting my Indians.
Until the end of his time in Baltimore.
Until the end of his time in Baltimore, which is why he left. So no love for the teams he ever played on, but for some reason I love this man, and that is Mike Moose Mussina.
I love Mussina too. He was one of those guys who every time he got on the mound, you knew you were going to get a solid six innings out of him, where he only give up a couple of runs. And
oh yeah,
he was good in the playoffs and was also just a good dude, right? He's quiet. I mean, did you see him at the press conference today? He has this weird beard. He basically is a hobbit now. He just goes in, or a hermit, I should say.
He just disappears. Term.
He just disappeared.
He's not going to Mordor?
No, he's not. Share the load, Sam.
I just looked at some great stuff. Funny you mentioned that. I got his stats in front of me. 95-03, 200-plus innings. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
Also made a 200 in his last season and 197 in 2006.
His last season is one of his best seasons.
Yeah.
He had a 3.37 ERA.
20 wins that year.
Led the league in games started at 34.
20 wins. He almost had 20 wins three times. He had 2 19s in Baltimore as well. And two 18s.
I think what's interesting, I think Mike Mussina, what'd you say? This is seventh year on the ballot?
That was more of a guess. I think it's been a little while. Yeah.
So he's been on the ballot for a little longer. I was initially, Mike and I were talking about this on the break. I was initially looking at it and I was like, what? This guy's career ERA 3.68. He's never had a sub three ERA. Like, who cares? Why is this guy a Hall of Famer? Then you look at it, and I think some of the biggest things that stand out to me is I'll look at strikeouts. He has 2,813 strikeouts, and
it was the sixth year on the ballot.
And he has 270 wins. Mike, could I argue that the stats we look at pitchers and wins and strikeouts of 300 and 3,000, are we ever going to see anybody as close to that as Mike Mussina?
Ooh.
I don't know where current totals are right now, but Moose literally at strikeouts, 28-13, and wins are 270. I mean, he's 30 wins from 300. He's less than 2,000 strikeouts from 3,000. Are we going to see anybody like that? Maybe Moose is the last old school throwback to get into the Hall of Fame. A dude that was just super consistent. You could always rely on, as you said, you know he's going to go out for six innings. And his stats, sure, his career ERA might be 3.68, but he's only got 3 years in a 15-year span of a 4-plus ERA.
He also pitched in the AL East, which is the toughest division to pitch in during the steroid era.
During the steroid era where Yankees are winning titles and then sticking with the Yanks while they're trying to win more titles.
Yeah, exactly. The closest current pitcher to 300 wins. You want to take a guess?
I think the answer. Jamie Moyer doesn't play anymore because I think he has 270 something.
I don't know if this guy's a Hall of Famer, but
the closest.
He's also fairly close in strikeouts, although not that close.
Oh man, no clue.
21 years in Major League Baseball.
Oh, Bartolo.
247 wins. 2,535 strikeouts.
Not touching any of that.
Next closest, 18 years, still playing, likely his last year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Played for three teams, including yours.
Oh, Sabathia.
CC Sabathia. He's got 246 wins. He already almost has 3,000 Ks.
But I mean,
he has 2,986 Ks, so he'll get that this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does that mean CC goes in the Hall?
I think CC might go in the Hall of Fame.
He might. Wow.
His career ERA is 3.70, but 246 wins.
Moose's career ERA is 3.68.
Yeah. I mean, I think you might see CC get in the Hall of Fame. Those are the two guys who are closest right now. If I keep looking down the list, Justin Verlander, 204, is the next closest.
See, and that's the guy I would compare him to because a lot of those dudes, CC and Bartolo, are longevity. To where Verlander was dominant for years and years and years. And he has how many wins?
204.
204.
He was on really bad Tigers teams for a while.
Right, right. But what's his career ERA?
His career ERA is 3.39.
3.39. It's a little better than Moose. Verlander's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He does have almost 3,000 Ks, 2,706 strikeouts.
Mike, when 5 years pass, Verlander's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. And that kills me as an Indians fan.
I
think Moose is.
I would like to say yes, but
Moose is the last of
his numbers make me a little skittish.
Kind of like I was talking about with Roy Halladay. I think Moose might be the last Greg Maddux Hall of Fame guy we see. In terms of just, I'm smart, I'm consistent, put up some numbers. Pitchers don't last like Moose did. Pitchers don't last like Maddux did.
Bartolo Colon did.
The human drumstick has also been popped twice. I know. So I know.
I guess CC would be a good example because he's been around 16 years.
CC's a good example.
He's very rarely hurt, although he's hurt right now. Yeah, I mean,
that's
you're
what
right.
Happens when you're 38.
It's changing. I mean, the fact that Verlander only has 204 wins
is wild.
And you're going, what? You've been in the league for what, 12 years already?
Clayton Kershaw, first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. How many wins he got? 170?
Ooh, I don't know. I
bet
you
he's got less than 200. Felix Hernandez, Hall of Famer? I think so. 204 wins, something like that.
All right, so we got Verlander's at 204. Greinke is at 187.
That's impressive.
John Lester, 177. Felix Hernandez, 168.
Ugh. Those Mariner teams were even worse than I thought.
Max Scherzer, 159.
Oh, I hate Scherzer.
Cole Hamels, 156. Clayton Kershaw, 153.
153. He's going to finish his career maybe at 200 and go into the Hall of Fame. Pedro Martinez only had like 200.
His career ERA is 239.
Yeah, Pedro Martinez only had like 210 wins, and he went in.
Irvin Santana after Kershaw.
Not going to the
Hall. 149. Adam Wainwright.
Also steroids.
148. James Shields, Big Game James, 145. Big Game James. David Price, teammates, 143. Yeah, and then you're going for a while.
But
Rick Porcello's next.
Mike Mussina was one of my favorite pitchers as a kid. One of his go-to pitches was the knuckle curve.
Yes,
where he held the ball like a curve, but he took his index finger and
bent
it
on
like
the ball,
a knuckle.
Basically. Yeah.
Oh, and it was such a cool, different, intricate pitch, and he. Almost like an Andy Pettit, but he was doing this in Baltimore. He always held the mitt really close to his face.
Yeah.
Like really close to his face. You could almost not see his eyes the way he held that, almost like he was Bane or something from Batman.
Right. He just barely put it right under his eyes. Just
right under the eyes.
Yep.
And I used to copy that in bowling. So I used to hold the bowling ball when I was younger. And hold
Patrick.
It real close. And then
I'm Mike Mussina with a bowling ball.
Yeah, and then take my index finger and put it down like I was throwing the knuckle curve.
Then you threw it into the gutter.
Yeah, because it was terrible at bowling, but I thought it was cool that I was like Mussina. Somebody was like, are you Andy Pettit? And I was like, no, Andy Pettit sucks. Mussina for life.
Orioles or Yankees hat?
I was just looking at his stats, like trying to see like see if I can base this on years. It's 50-50.
Yeah, 10 with the Orioles, 8 with the Yankees.
I mean.
And actually, I was reading about this. It's not solely up to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Hall of Fame. Now, they take his word into the largest amount of account, but they also look at the stats and stuff to see where you should be in. Because, like, Roy Halladay, before he passed it, he would want to wear a Blue Jays hat.
Yeah, he'll go in as a Blue Jay.
But should he go in as a Philly?
No, he should go in as a Blue Jay.
Okay.
I think that, not just because he says that, but I think he should go in as a Blue Jay. I mean, I think Clemens should go in as a Red Sox. That's just me. If he does. If I were Moose.
Expo.
If I were Moose, I'd say Baltimore. I wish Joe were here.
I was.
You hear that, Joe?
No, he's not listening. I was reading an article just in this last break. It was saying that Mussina said he doesn't know either. At this point, he was asked today. He said he doesn't know. But it basically said that he would go over better going in as a Yankee. As weird as it sounds, because the standards for an Oriole in the Hall of Fame are a lot higher.
That's
because
true.
There's less of them.
You have Brooks, Jim Palmer. Yeah.
There's only, I think, 6 Orioles in the Hall of Fame.
And those guys are like...
Here, I'll pull it up. 1 second.
Those guys are like top 50 players of all time. Because Brooks Robinson is in.
You got Eddie Murray.
Cal Ripken Jr. Ooh,
Eddie Murray. Jim Palmer, Cal Ripken Jr., Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson.
Oh, and, yeah, Frank's in as an Oriole.
And Earl Weaver. Those are
Oh, God.
Those are the only guys who are in as Orioles.
And Mike Mussina.
You think Mike Mussina should be the 7th guy on that list? Or should he be the, like...
Or do you want him to, like, water down your Yankee boys? Because there's plenty of them.
It's not watering it
Mike's
down.
Mike's just like, oh, yeah, he can water down the Yankees because we still got Garrick, Ruth, Mantle.
It's not about watering it down. It's just... I'm trying to look at this from the Orioles' perspective.
I see what you mean. Like,
Is Mike Mussina comparable to those guys? And the answer is definitely not.
Yeah, there's...
Like, those are some of the best players of baseball history.
Yeah, there's,
right there.
There's 3 Cleveland Indians in the Hall of Fame, and there's Satchel Paige, Bob Feller, and Jim Thome.
Exactly.
And Satchel Paige played for the Indians when he was 48. But they had to put him in as a major league team. They were like, can't put him in the Negro League team.
I didn't even
Don't
know
like
that.
Those guys.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Satchel Paige pitched his first game for the Indians in his 40s.
I didn't
they were
know,
like,
I didn't
oh,
know
Hall of
they...
Fame? Put an Indians hat on him.
I didn't know they put him in the Cleveland hat, though.
He's got a statue at Progressive Field. I've seen it. Yeah. That's a good point, Mike. That's a really good point. Do you protect the Baltimore legacy or do you add to the number?
I mean, that was just the article I read.
No. I think it's a very interesting point.
Whatever Moose wants, I think, is what he should get.
Yeah.
If he wants to go in as an Oriole, more power to him. That's where he started his career. He had a lot of success there. More people know him as a Yankee.
If CC Sabathia goes in, do you put him as a Yankee or an Indian?
It's a Yankee.
And it's a Yankee.
He's been in New York way longer than he was an Indian.
But I would say he's not Satchel Paige. He's not Bob Feller. He's not Jim Tomei.
Right.
I would probably use that argument.
He also won a World Series with the Yankees, which helps that too, I think. Plus,
you're welcome.
How many years?
Against another Indian starter.
How many years was he with Cleveland? 4, 5?
Yeah. But I mean,
that's different.
I just mean if I were to think, would I want him amongst the greats? No. He's not Omar Vizquel.
He's not Frankie Lindor.
Damn right, he's not Frankie Lindor.
Patrick just unzipped his hoodie and showed me his Frankie Lindor shirt.
We were talking
his jersey.
We were talking Hall of Fame. I figured I'd throw the old Frankie on. The old number 12.
After three seasons in the MLB, Hall of Famer.
Hall of Fame, wearing that Indians hat. When we come back, I guess we should talk about those dudes that didn't get in, right?
Yeah, if I had pulled up the numbers of the other percentages.
Yeah.
Todd Helton. 16% on his first year.
That is bad.
Todd Helton. One of the best first basemen of the generation that we watch baseball.
Career 300 hitter.
One of the best first basemen in our generation.
What am I, Rafael Palmeiro?
16.5%.
Yeah. So let's talk
about. You know who got more percent than he did? Billy Wagner.
Gross. Absolutely disgusting. When we come back, we'll talk about the rejects and see which ones we agree and disagree with. We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, but first there's Mike with sports. Man. Back in on this Hall of Fame as we wrap this up. We got next week. Maybe Bryce Harper and Machado will sign. Who knows? I'm so done with those idiots. I hope Padres sign both of you. You just disappear into nowhere. Bunch of idiots. JR texts in on the Better You Today text line 55305. I'll always see Mussina as an O, but that could be for my deep, deep hatred for the Pinstripes.
He also said he sees him as kind of a Freddy Garcia type, which I feel like is a little bit of a shot at Mike Mussina.
That's a huge shot at Mike Mussina, although Freddy Garcia once signed my Mariners program, so I got love for
Freddy. Good on you, Freddy.
Yeah, it was like 98.
Yeah, Mussina was way better than Freddy Garcia.
The Kingdom was still around. I think Mo Vaughn was playing for the Red Sox that day.
Okay.
But I saw A-Rod.
There you go.
That was cool.
He didn't sign your thing, though.
He did not. Are you shocked?
Nope.
Even at 22, you were a jerk.
My random player that signed a bat for me that I will love forever is Luis Soho.
Ooh, nice.
That day, I reached my bat out in a gaggle of kids. Picked mine.
Nice.
Thank you, Luis. Love you.
There was a dude, he played either first or outfield, like David Segura, something like that. I don't remember. Some Mariner dude.
Clearly, he really, really made an impact on your life.
He was super nice to me.
David Segura, something.
Something like that. I don't remember.
He was nice.
Some other people that did not make the Hall of Fame this year. Omar Vizquel on his second year, 42.8%. I expect that to rise.
What did he get last year? Do you remember?
Lower. Definitely lower.
Okay.
I find that despicable as the greatest defensive shortstop in the history of baseball.
I will double check that for you. Un momento.
Larry Walker at 54.6. He's got one more year left. The crime dog on his last year gets just under 40%.
Vizquel got 37 last year.
37? Okay, so he's on the up and up. Maybe that's the more actual voting people turned in this year. Could be something like that. Maybe.
Could be, yeah.
Let's see here. Who else? Andy Pettit, 9.9% for his first year on the ballot.
Yeah, I think that means he stays on, but.
Yeah, he stays on, but that's that tested positive, admitted positive kind of thing, right?
Probably.
I mean, Pettit's probably not a Hall of Famer. I don't know, man. If Moose is a Hall of Famer, Pettit might be a Hall of Famer. Dude, his postseason stats are unbelievable.
Not a postseason Hall of Fame, though.
I know. But he was really good.
Dude, I love Andy Pettit, but he's got a 3.85 career ERA, 256 wins, 2,400 strikeouts. I mean, he's borderline. Moose made it into his sixth year. He's borderline.
Yeah.
But starting at 9%, that's not a good start.
It's not a good start. Scotty Baseball, Scott Rowland, in his second year, 17. Man, there's very few third basemen I watched in my time that were better than Scotty Rowland.
Fielding. He wasn't the best hitter, though.
Right, but his fielding, man, he was good.
Yep.
And then the one you wanted to talk about, well, I guess I'll, before we get into that, Curt Schilling, 60.9%, Roger Clemens, 59.5%, Barry Bonds, 59.1%, Manny Ramirez, 22.8%. I just realized I lumped Curt Schilling into steroid dudes, which I did not mean intentionally. I
think you're lumping him into dudes who are unlikable.
Yeah, dudes that should be in the Hall of Fame that aren't. Schilling will get in.
Yeah, he's close.
It's at 60.9% in his sixth year. They'll make him sweat it out. Schilling is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he absolutely is. When he's Kurt also Schilling just a jerk.
When Curt Schilling retired, I said, I'll see you in 5 years. Like, Schilling is a Hall of Famer, without a doubt. But nobody likes him, so they'll make him sweat it out. Manny Ramirez has been popped twice. Todd Helton, 16% on his first time on the ballot.
That to me is...
That is a wow.
That's a shock.
Like, even Omar got, you know, around 40%. Someone who's not a sexy pick to put in the Hall of Fame. But Todd Helton?
Todd Helton hit 316. He had 369 home runs, 1,400 RBIs. I mean, I know those numbers aren't startling, but...
316 is startling for your career.
Todd Helton hit 372 in 2000.
That's awesome.
147 RBIs, led the league.
You know what his stats sound like, minus an MVP? They sound like Ichiro Suzuki.
Now, do you want to know why? I did not know this. I just looked it up on Baseball Reference. After the 2004 season, his numbers fell off hysterically. I mean, his average was always high. But
his numbers were funny?
Yeah. He went from getting 30-plus home runs and 100 RBIs a season to 20 and 80, 15 and 70.
Oh, wow.
Injuries played a huge part.
Yeah.
He was hurt a lot, and he was just getting older, I guess. But that I think that's probably why it was so low. But when I remember Todd Helton, I remember one of the best first basemen I saw play when I was growing up.
Ever.
So that to me is not ever. But best first baseman I saw growing up. And
oh, yeah, I guess like Gehrig played first. My bad.
So it's tough for me that he only got, what was it, 16%?
Of all of these dudes that are still on the ballot, if you had to pick one, who are you putting in?
Wait, say that again?
Of all the dudes that are still alive on the ballot,
okay,
that did not get in, you have to pick one. Schilling, Clemens, Bonds, Walker, Vizquel, Ramirez, Jeff Kent, Billy Wagner, Todd Helton, Scott Rowland, Andy Pettit, Sosa. Sosa's still hanging around. Wow.
Placido Polanco. I'm going to say Roger Clemens.
That's the one?
Yeah.
If you had to pick one out of all of these dudes, you're taking the Rocket?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're such a Yankee homer.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Well, I'm taking Omar Vizquel, so you can be a homer.
He's one of the best pitchers. It was between that and Bonds. He's one of the best pitchers of all time. And
I know science is a hell of a thing.
I'm past the steroid stuff. I am.
I'm not.
I don't view it the same anymore. And I think I've kind of altered my opinion on it to where I'll say without steroids, they were surefire Hall of Famers. And that's Roger Clemens and that's Barry Bonds. Those two of them. They were. And they still are in my mind. And frankly, at 59%, although they only have 3 years left, I think they might sneak in, which some people, probably a lot of people, will cry shame. And I think I'll say good, because it feels wrong to leave some of these guys out of the hall. Same with Pete Rose. I mean, Pete Rose, one of the greatest hitters of all time. He's not in it because of the cheating stuff, the gambling stuff. But I think I would say, if I had to pick one, I'd say Roger Clemens. If I couldn't pick a steroid guy, just to make it more interesting, I hate Curt Schilling, so I'm not going to pick him. I probably would say,
man, yeah, it ain't easy.
I want to give Fred McGriff the love because he's not going to be back on the ballot anymore.
The veterans will vote him in.
I'll say Larry Walker.
If I had to pick a guy, steroid, no steroid, it's Curt Schilling. I just saw too much amazing stuff from him. Omar Vizquel's pretty close. It's funny that you take Clemens over Bonds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember.
You know Bonds has 7 MVPs, right?
I do.
Okay.
Also has the record for most home runs.
You're just cutting out steroids here. You're taking Bonds. You're taking Clemens over Bonds.
Yeah.
If I had to cut out steroids, I'm taking Bonds. I mean, I'm taking A-Rod, but I'm taking Bonds.
That's fine.
In this, even though I despise Bonds.
The
man has so many records.
I think I gravitate towards dominant pitching versus dominant hitting, personally. In terms of like my great favorite players, I always gravitate towards pitching. And that's probably why I picked Clemens in this.
So I know we're running late, but this is why.
Yeah, we are.
But this is why, if you had to pick one of the steroids dudes, why you take Bonds. My buddy sent me this today, and he sent me this stat. If you played all 162 games in a season and went 2-for-5 with a single and a home run in every single game, you would bat 400. With a 162, with 162 home runs and 324 hits, and you would still have a lower OPS than Bonds in 2004.
That's insane. I'm not saying he's not one of the greatest hitters, if not the greatest hitter of all time.
And you're taking Clemens.
You gave me one choice.
And you took Clemens.
I did take Clemens. I appreciate dominant pitching better than dominant hitting. It's my choice.
If I have to pick a steroid dude, I'm taking Man Ram, because duh. Like, who's not taking Manny Ramirez? The man used to piss in the Green Monster.
This guy's not taking Manny Ramirez.
And then smoke hella weed and just be like, yo, y'all want to play ball? Yo, Pedro, I like your Jerry curl. Anyway, we come back. We'll wrap this bad boy up. This is the Hall of Fame edition of the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
We don't have much time, but Mike and I were kind of looking at some stuff, you know. There's these steroid guys that might sneak in. You think Clemens and Bonds will sneak in? Right, Mike?
Yeah, I think so.
You think they'll sneak in?
I'm torn on it, but I think they will.
Well, if they sneak in, I firmly believe Manny Ramirez should sneak in too. I just decided to pull up his stats. First off, in 99, he had 165 RBIs. In 99?
Yeah.
I don't even know if the Indians made the playoffs that year.
I mean, they should have.
I hope so. Looking back on it, in 98, he had one. So from 98 to 2006, his RBI totals are 145, 165, 122, 25, 107, 104, 130, 144, 102.
And then that year where in 2002, Manny Ramirez had 349, had 33 home runs and 107 RBIs. He finished ninth in MVP voting. Ninth. So I went to that MVP vote, and would you guys like
story time with Mike Lynch,
a retro look at steroid peak 2002 baseball? Eighth. In the MVP, I'm going up.
Okay.
Eighth in the MVP was Maglio Ordonez.
Ooh, Mags.
Who hit 320 with 38 home runs and 135 RBIs.
I hate the White Sox.
Eighth. Seventh was Jim Thome, who hit 304 with 52 home runs and 118 RBIs.
Booyah, baby. We definitely made the playoffs that year.
Sixth was Torrey Hunter, whose numbers didn't match, but I'm assuming his fielding was incredible.
And he was a sexy player to watch.
Fifth was Jason Giambi, who hit 314 with 41 home runs and 122 RBIs. Fourth was Garrett Anderson on the Anaheim Angels, who hit 306 with 29 and 123. Third was Alfonso Soriano.
Wait, what year was this?
2002.
2002. Did Garrett Anderson not win World Series MVP that year?
Ooh, he might have. Yeah. Third, Alfonso Soriano, 339 and 102. Second, A-Rod, 357 and 142. This is the year Miguel Tejada won the MVP. 21% of the first place votes, by the way. 308, 34, 131.
Just juicing.
Steroids everywhere.
Everybody on that list except for probably Ordonez, Thome.
Dude, Ordonez hit 38 home runs that year.
Ordóñez, I don't think, was on the juice.
Oh, come on.
Okay, all right, maybe he was. But Tomei wasn't, so Tomei's the only dude. Oh, and Garrett Anderson.
Torii Hunter. Garrett Anderson was 100% on the juice that year. But dude, who is Garrett Anderson to hit that many home runs?
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
It's like Brady Anderson.
I know. When you said it in my ear in the break, I thought it was Brady Anderson. I was like, oh, really? Just to really show steroids, you're going to throw Brady Anderson at me?
Nope. Also that year, Eric Chavez, 34-109. Nomar Garcia-Parra, 24-120.
That was shortstop heyday. Shortstop heyday right there.
Looking back at these numbers, it blows my mind that people didn't think steroids were in baseball. Come on.
Dude, Manny Ramirez had 165 RBIs in 99. 165?
That year he finished third in MVP voting.
Like, who's hitting 165 RBIs? Also, Manny Ramirez has 555 home runs and a career batting average of .312. If you're gonna put steroid dudes in the Hall of Fame, I better see Manny Ramirez. It's gonna go in as a Red Sox though.
Yeah, he will.
That helps with that, like.
Also, he actually got popped.
That 8-game World Series hitting streak, 20-game World Series hitting streak. Anyway, do something I do. This is the Hot Corner. Peace.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.